You know, sometimes you have to really think about who you are and think about the church that you are a member of. And as you look around the audience and you look at people's faces and you know something about their lives, you know, it really makes you think. I mean, we can get into a routine of doing things, and things seems to substitute for the real meaning of existence. You know, I'm not really sure what I'm going to do at this moment. I have prepared a lot of notes that I wanted to share. And my heart is telling me that maybe I should question some things. I mean, I don't think that what I have to say really matters at all if you don't want to be here. I think if you've basically checked out of spirituality, or if you've checked out of wanting to be at this church, I don't think that this message is going to mean much. I mean, we talk a lot in our own homes and with our friends about what we want our church to be. And yet, at the same time, if we don't want to be here, if we don't think that our church is exciting, and we're not excited about inviting someone to come to our church, I'm thinking that what we're doing is going to have to die before something else can be reborn. And at the same time, I know that certain people feel a certain way and others feel a different way. That's normal. There are certain people in this church that are so on fire and so excited and so willing to do anything that you ask them, and it's so contagious and inspiring that it gives me a purpose to get up in the mornings and to be involved in ministry here at this church. And yet, to be totally honest, and I certainly hope that I don't do the same thing to you, there are some that are just so down and just so bummed out and just look like they're suffering when they're here, that it bums me out. It makes me want to go somewhere else. You know, and I have to ask a question. And I've had somebody ask me this question. Would you go to this church if you weren't a paid minister? And you know, that breaks my heart. It really breaks my heart. And as I think about those things that are, you know, they're just so incredibly important. And you know, we talk about our church, and to tell you the truth, I like the Leander Church. I mean, I really do. I mean, no church is perfect. Not even in the first century was the church perfect. And we practice a Christianity today that, it kills me because it so mirrors the culture of modern America. It's so consumer-driven and rooted around how we can be served. Instead of asking the question, you know, what can I do to make something of the church where I'm a member? And you know, I share a vision with God about the church. Because I want the church here to be missional in its nature. And a missional church is about sending people from the church into the world to make a difference. It's not about what goes on behind the sanctum, the behind our walls, but it's about what we do and who we are and what we talk about. It's about us not being a confessionally challenged church, but one that has Jesus Christ on its tongue and in his heart, and just inspires people to live a way that they live. And you know as well as I do, a church that is growing is a church that is inspiring. It's people who want to be there because they feel the presence of God there. I mean, the church is about saying, here am I, Lord, send me. And we focused our attention basically on sending others and not asking the question, you know, can you teach me how I can be sent to make a difference in the world? I mean, even in the first century, the early Christians, during a great persecution, they nevertheless spread God's word. Remember the context in Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 8, rather, in verse 2 and following. On that great day, there was an incredible persecution that broke out. And only the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And all the others were scattered all throughout Judea and Samaria. And the scripture says in verse 4 that those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. This was who they were and what they were doing. And I think today we have to be challenged to the extent that we're willing to change our perspective of sending others to ourselves being sent. But in order to be able to do it, we're going to have to start somewhere. We're going to have to start with the idea that we must attempt to understand our own North American culture. I don't really think that in the context of our world, we understand the real nature of what pluralism is. That we in America are really a melting pot. And that means that we have to come to grips with what it means not only to minister in a pluralistic world, but what it means to be leaders and what it means to be a confessional church. I mean, we have to deal intelligently with issues that must be spoken of and understood extremely well. Like modern spirituality. What does it mean to interface and to connect with people that would just as rather or just as well experience virtual worship as experiential worship? Many people today would rather sit at home and log on to a website than they would to come into a church building because they've given up on North American churches. And where does that speak about our national identity? If we identify with Jesus, then we must realize that our context, or the context wherein we live our lives, is to be in the nitty-gritty of where people in our world really live. And what about multiple cultures? Multiple cultures that live around us. I was driving down Baghdad the other day, and I was in front of Leander High School, and a young Muslim woman wearing her Muslim garb was crossing the street. What does that speak about where our voice is and what we want to do in our own culture? Because people also, they live in the now. They don't care about the future and they don't care about the past. They have no denominational loyalties. All they care about is what can you do for me now? You see, during the 20th century, Christianity became a worldwide movement. Churches were established on every continent and among every cultural group. And now, because of our multi-ethnic, multi-religious, and multi-religious culture, Christianity in America is now no longer a dominant feature. I mean, just think back to the time when you were young, or to the time of your grandparents, and you really clearly realize that Christian society and America are no longer the same thing. In fact, it's clearly true that we now live in a post-Christian, and according to some, even an anti-Christian world. And what does that say about the church? I mean, look around. We've lost incredible numbers of people. And we've also lost power and influence. And yet, amidst all of that, religiosity in America is still extremely important. I mean, people are still religious. They may be more interested in worshiping Buddha, but there's still people who have this incredible craving for the spiritual. But when we look around, less and less people are joining the church. And just like our culture, religion in North America is changing. It's more pluralistic, it's more individualistic, and it's more private. Now, what does that say about the church? I mean, I look at the church, and the church is basically the same as it always has been since at least the 1960s. Is it because we either don't understand our world, or we believe that what we do came straight out of the gospel or the writings of the apostles and the Acts of the Apostles? I mean, I'm all for doing what the Bible says. Don't get me wrong. That's where we live, and that's what our lives are about. But there are so many things that we do that are cultural. And we have to ask the hard questions, because we have been asked, we have been given the command to preach the gospel to all nations. And that means starting right here and right now. We have to change from being sending people to asking how we can be sent. And so the basic thesis of my study is to answer to try to provide an answer to the crisis that is facing the church in North America. Because it will not be found at the level of method or problem solving. That was the old world, and now we live in a new one. Now it's more about who we are and what we are here for. It's not so much institutional and programmatic as it is about what God is doing among us, and is His presence living in us. It's less about doing everything, and I use this in quotation marks, correctly, than it is about experientially living out what we know to be absolutely true. And that's loving people where they are. The real issues are spiritual and theological, and these will have to be our focus. So who are we today? When you think of the church and you think of yourself, maybe you're sitting there and you're going, you know, I'm not really content with the church. I'm not really happy where I'm at. Well, then, you know, it's not just okay to be unhappy without trying to provide an answer by talking about the issues and trying to realize what is it then that we can do in order to be a church that meets the needs of our world. We have to move from a church-centered understanding of mission to a God-centered one. Because mission is more than an activity of the church. We have to see ourselves really as partners with God in this mission. And mission is rooted in God's initiative and in His purposes to restore and to heal creation. I mean, God's initiative is mission. And mission is sending. I mean, did not begin with Israel? And He moved Israel as a nation to be someone who was blessed, to be a blessing. And then God sent His Son Jesus, and His work of salvation was ministering, crucified, and resurrected. And then God would send the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, He would empower the church as the witnesses to God's good news in Jesus Christ. And then God's purpose moves to the promised end of time. God is a missionary God. Do you hear that, church? God is a missionary God. He began with Israel. He was incarnated in Jesus. Jesus became Emmanuel. Jesus is God. And from Jesus, God sent the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit makes Himself manifest as the church goes out. In other words, the church is a sent people. Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Mission is a word that we sort of bandy about in different ways. But let's try to be very precise about what we mean when we use the word mission. Mission is understood as being derived from the very nature of God. It is thus put in the context of the doctrine of the Trinity, not the doctrine of the church, and not of the doctrine of salvation. The classical doctrine of the mission of God as God the Father sending the Son, and God the Father and the Son sending the Spirit, has now been expanded to include another movement. It's that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit send the church into the world. Now here's the problem. Neither the structures nor the theology of Western traditional churches is missional. It's not. That's an incredible thing to recognize. I mean, aren't we about the book? I mean, haven't we always prided ourselves in saying that we believe the Bible is true and the Bible is what dictates to us what is right and wrong? See, traditional churches are shaped by the legacy of Christendom. And that's where mission is seen as just one of the programs. I would like for us to think in terms of missions and a broader span. To think of it in terms of our mission budget is not just something that we have as a program, but that the entire congregational budget is an exercise that we use in terms of mission. If what we do doesn't affect our missional purpose, then we stop doing it. Because then we become God-sent people to carry out His purpose in ways that are extravagant. We could begin to start our conversation about shaping our church to be missional. First, missional is biblical. What do I mean? That what we believe about the church needs to be found in and based in what the Bible teaches. And if it doesn't, we have to be big enough and strong enough and courageous enough to get rid of it. Second, missional is contextual. All churches function relative to their culture. I mentioned to you on one occasion in Miami visiting a church that it was like walking into Middle Tennessee. And they didn't reflect what the culture around them looked like. They expected you to become like them in order to be accepted. The Bible doesn't teach such a thing. The Bible says that we are to be faithful both to the gospel and to the witness that we foster. If not, people can see through it. And also, missional is eschatological. Eschatology is not only about the end of the world. It is about the future breaking in today with an alternative order known as the reign of God. Do we believe that we exist in the reign of God? Now that is a very good question. Also, missional is practical. It is something that we are able to practice. It can be put into practice. It's not something that we just talk about. It becomes something that we do. Now let me just sort of bring this to a head and I'm going to close. I was cut really short today on time. It looks as if we live under the power of God, that the gospel has the purpose of shaping and transforming culture. And it looks as if then the church is to be a transformational power within the church's context. Remember the old saying, where the gospel is, the world is different? And I don't know all the answers. I've never said I did, and I hope I've never given the impression, because I certainly don't. But at the same time, I think not knowing, we still have to wrestle with the whole idea of how we present the gospel within the terms, the styles and perspectives of our own social context. I mean, I would like to make you extremely uncomfortable. I would like for you to be uneasy, to be living on the edge, not knowing what to expect from the church. Because the church is willing to do things that will reach people where they are. I want us to be a type of people that has the courage to face reality as it really is. I mean, doing that is willing to continually discover the truth. And you wonder, are we doing that? Let me give you just quickly seven things that I found that are called the seven commandments of current reality. First is, thou shalt not pretend. Don't pretend like the world is as it always has been. Don't pretend like what always used to work works now. Don't pretend like if it's not working, you can continue to do it because that's the way it should be. Second, thou shalt not turn a blind eye. If it's broken, fix it. Don't practice denial. Third, thou shalt not exaggerate. Like preachers evangelistically talk about the numbers of people that attend their church, as if the numbers of people attending reflects how important they are. Give me a break. Fourth, thou shalt not shoot the bearer of bad news. Paul said, have I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Fifth, thou shalt not hide behind numbers. Numbers can be deceiving. Sixth, thou shalt not ignore constructive criticism. And seventh, thou shalt not isolate thyself. We live in a world that is increasingly relational. People want to be close to others. That's why Friends and Seinfeld were such blockbuster series on TV. Because it's all about little groups of people who share life together, share experiences together, who go in and out of each other's homes, and we crave it so much that we have to be involved in something like that, so we vicariously experience it through television. And I'm thinking, oh God, please forgive us. Please teach us to intersect in people's lives and to reach the people around us. This is going to cause the church some struggle, church, because it calls leaders to be new types of leaders in an emerging world that we don't know really what it's going to look like. It's something that we're going to have to do while we're discovering it ourselves. But you know, we can't afford to be 20 years behind anymore. We have to be ahead of the game. And this is what it means to be missional. It means that we realize that we are a church for all people. And we want people that are broken, that are poor, that are weak, that are hungry, that are selfish, self-centered, ungodly, filthy and dirty. We want them to be in here with us because we can minister to them in ways where they can experience the love of God. I want everybody that's here today, and I want you to call all of your friends that are members of this local church, and I want you to ask them to ask somebody to come to worship on Sundays every week. I want it to be your mission from now on, that you have on your lips an invitation for somebody to come and hear the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Will you do that? Will you make a commitment to go out to where the people are and to say, please, we have a Savior who is incredibly awesome. And we love Him so much. We just think so much of our church that we want you to experience what it is to know the love of God. And we want to transform our church to when somebody parks in that parking lot, we're standing out there and we're waiting for them. And then we hand that person off to somebody standing at all of these doors, and we shake their hand and we hand them off to somebody else. And then that person will direct those people to where they should go, and you connect those people with somebody in that class who's going to be their guide for that day, their mentor, and they're going to come and sit with them in the auditorium. And then they're going to invite them over to their house that week. And they're going to sit in their living room and they're going to talk to them about the beauty of Christ, the wonderful work of our church. And then they're going to connect with us ministers and our elders, and we're going to try to do everything that we can to fit them into a place where they can make a difference in their own homes and in our community. And I'm going to push. And I'm going to push so much that either you're going to get tired of listening to it, or let me restate that. I'm going to push so much that you're either going to do what I'm asking you to do, or you're going to find some way of getting a new preacher. Because I am sick and tired of us pandering to the history of Christendom and not stepping up and being the church that God wants us to do. And I'm here to tell you right now that I'm willing to help and lead this effort. And I'm asking you, for the sake of the cross and for the meaning of forgiveness that you have received through Jesus, that you become a missional people that is committed down to the pores of your body, down into the depth of your soul, for you to be what God wants you to be. And you know what? And I'll close. You know, when you do this, I see it in your eyes. I see it in your eyes. And it does something to me. It changes who I am. It shapes me into something that I need to be. And I ask you, indeed I plead with you, to become a missional church, the one that God has called us to be. If you're here this morning and you don't know our Savior, we want you to know that although this message has been, in a certain sense, a rebuke of the church is the body of the saved. The church is those who have been bought and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And sometimes, frankly, we just need to get ourselves whacked pretty good so that we come to our senses. But Jesus today offers you the forgiveness of your sins. And He ushers you into a kingdom of God's saints that want to be what God wants them to be and wants to help you to be what God wants you to become. Please, if we can help you, just please know that at the cross, God forgives us all. And God will continue to do so. Please come right now as we stand and sing.